let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. The Last Troubadour by Eugene Scruggs is a novel based on the life of Charles de Saucy, a musician and poet who lived and entertained during the age of Louis XIV in France and Italy. This is an era of momentous political, religious, and social changes. He was closely connected to many of the major political and artistic players of the day. Dr. C. Eugene Scruggs is a professor emeritus at the University of South Florida. He taught French literature, history, and culture with a specialty in the 17th century period for many years in U.S. universities, was guest professor at the University of Paris and at Cambridge University in England. Eugene has served as director of overseas study and exchange programs for the University of Florida. He's introduced more than 300 university-level students to the culture of France by the way of summer study tours. For his contributions to the dissemination of French culture, the Prime Minister of France awarded Eugene a prestigious Academic Merit Award in 2002. The author of 6 books with diverse topics such as French culture, American Civil War, and his memoir, The View from Brindley Mountain, that we've talked about on This Week in America, and now The Last Troubadour, Eugene Scruggs, back with us on This Week in America. Dr. Scruggs, welcome back to the program, and it's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. Very nice. You said it all. I don't need to say anything else.
Well, you can do it so much better than I can. I was quickly going through which an illustrious career that you've had. Let's go back because I couldn't pronounce it. I took Latin instead of French in school. What was the name of the award that you got in 2002 from the Prime Minister?
Yes, the first word is Chevalier. Chevalier is the French word for knight. K-N-I-G-H-T, that kind of knight. And then the rest of it is the order, l'ordre, de Palme Académique. Now, that simply means roughly academic merit. So, Knight of the Order of Academic Merit. The interesting part about it is that it was begun by Napoleon in 1808. So, it's been around a while.
What an honor.
And given seldom to foreigners, that is non-French. So I was kind of lucky, I think.
Well, you earned it. I mean, what a distinguished honor. And I wanted to mention that because it sounded like, okay, this is impressive, and I really didn't want to butcher it. So I thought I would just say academic merit and let you explain it. And Chevalier, I think I would have picked up from Maurice Chevalier. But other than that, I was totally lost in this, and it showed my age here too as well. But let's talk about the subject of the book. And I mentioned you have diverse topics that you've written about over your career. Why a novel about a musician and poet of the 17th century France?
Well, it's quite simple. This person, Charles d'Assoucy, was the subject of my dissertation research in Paris in 1967. Very interesting character and a little bit maligned at times by the critics. So I thought he needed to have his life focused on and given, you know, given his due, his just due. So I sat down and thought, well, nobody's going to read my dissertation, so maybe I should jazz it up a bit and create some dialogue, and I'll have to invent that, of course, but to give him life, give him a chance to show his stuff.
Well, it's a real interesting read. I mean, you've really brought this character to life on the pages of the book. The book is The Last Troubadour by Eugene Scruggs. You'll find it at stratton-press.com, Amazon, the usual places. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Mentioned he was a musician and a poet. Let's talk about The Last Troubadour. Let's talk about instruments. What all did he play?
Well, no one has the book in front of them, but on the cover it shows the instrument. It's preceding the guitar, and it's called a lute. And the lute has more strings than a guitar. As a matter of fact, there are lutes, and d'Assoucy could play the double-neck lute. Now, that's about a dozen strings.
Wow.
Now, that requires a significant amount of agility, but it does give a long, if you will, almost like a keyboard. So a wonderful instrument which could be played as part of an orchestra.
Well, he certainly was a talented individual and a very colorful person as well. Where was his home for most of his years? And he was, what, a roving ambassador quite a bit of the time.
Well, he was a Parisian by birth, so his first 17 years were in Paris, southern part of the city. Back in those days, it had a wall around it, so he wasn't very far from the southern wall. His father was a lawyer, and so his father had what would be for a middle class a rather impressive occupation. And as a matter of fact, the father, which is typical, wanted d'Assisi, wanted Charles, to be a lawyer. And he was quite brilliant, the young kid, and did well in Latin, which lawyers had to know, at
Exactly.
least broken Latin. And but he ran away from home instead. His mother was a musician. He learned to play the lute. He learned to play the violin. He could sing. His mother was a great singer, but unfortunately, the father and the mother divorced. She was Italian. She left with a daughter and left him with his father, who had a mistress. And Charles and the mistress were always fighting each other. So when he was old enough to run away, he did, and became a troubadour in a sense. It's not officially a troubadour because there weren't any that late in the chronology. Most troubadours you think of as being 12th, 13th century.
Yes.
So I'm just playing on that word because he traveled and lived really off his music.
Yeah, that really sort of sums up the character. The book is The Last Troubadour by Eugene Scruggs. That's Scruggs. Book available, stratton-press.com, the publisher, Amazon, the usual places as well. What was his connection with Italy?
Yes, his mother was Italian. Her name was Agnani. Agnani sounds almost like Latin for lamb, close to it. And she was a member of the Amati family from Corona. Now, most people won't know this, and I didn't either until I began investigating, but Cremona was the locale for the development of the best Stradivarius type violins. And
Interesting.
so she had in her family the artists who could put together fantastic sounding instruments. And so the young Charles naturally gravitated over to Cremona and actually spent some time in the Amati shop. But in effect, he got involved too much with all the dukes and the political life and ended up in prison. And you don't want to know all that story. It's after the end of this story. I'm basically using his story while he was basically traveling from town to town in southern France, which is what the troubadours did in the 12th century.
Yes. What role did he play in bringing the opera to France? He had a role in that. What role did he play?
Well, the Italians brought the opera, and one of the Italian gentlemen was named Jean-Baptiste Lully, Lully. Music historians, musicologists, opera buffs will probably know that word, Lully. Anyway, he was for old Louis XIV, who's the centerpiece here at this time. Louis XIV, everybody knows something about him. The longest reign of any monarch, from 1643 to 1715. Now, Charles was born in 05 and died in 72, no, 77, so he lived three quarters of the age of Louis XIV. So this is a great era. If anybody's I don't know if you've read it. Everybody's seen at least one of the dozen or so of so Hollywood versions of the Three Musketeers.
Oh, yes, yes.
He is living right in the middle of the Three Musketeers. Now, the leader of the Three Musketeers was a real person who was, as a matter of fact, the captain of the king's guard. His name was D'Artagnan. So you had Porthos, Athos, and Aramis. Now, it's debatable if these guys really lived or not, but as far as Dumas is concerned, they did. And they're really quite swashbuckling guys.
Oh, yes.
A lot of fun. And I'm sure everybody's seen at least, as I say, one of those movies. So that's the era. That's what we're talking about.
It's really
political uprising, military conflict, Protestant, Catholic conflict, etc.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's really a lot going on. That really, it's a momentous time. That really was during that period.
The name Richelieu probably won't mean a lot, but he was prime minister. And if you're a political science major, you run across him as the architect of the modern state. The idea of combining together in the government one solid controller. And so Richelieu designed what would be hopefully a educated monarchy. So Louis XIV becomes the first and only, and that's not really the case, but supposedly the absolute monarch.
Interesting. It's such fascinating.
So you've got all these connections.
Yes.
With historical people. And I weave them in a bit. I mean, they don't go hugging and kissing Charles, but he knows them. He runs across them. He sees them in the palace.
It's such a well-told story, taking, you know, these characters, making them come to life in the book The Last Troubadour by Eugene Scruggs, our guest on the program. D'Souza, what comic opera did he compose? He did a piece himself, didn't he?
He did. He's the first to take an opera and do just a short little comic version. In mythology, there's Apollo, and there's a young lady named Daphne, okay?
Yes.
Now, Apollo falls in love with Daphne, and he's chasing her around, and we don't need to go into all the details, but she doesn't really want to be caught by Apollo, and she prays to her father, "Save me, Father, save me." Her father was the god of rivers, okay? We're talking serious mythology from the Greeks. But anyway, she's turned into a laurel tree at the end of it. Now, set this to music as a comic opera. It's not going to, but it leads the French and the Italians into that genre. It in itself, although it's been published in the 20th century, I don't know, it's not a bestseller. Let's put it that way.
Well, yes, I'll take it at that. Now, he also had trouble dealing with conservative literary and music critics as well. Talk about the turmoil that created.
You know, in this country, we don't think of great conflicts in aesthetics between artists, different kinds of drama. But the French took all that very seriously. And there had been for years a conservative sort of set of poetics, is the actual term for it. How you write stuff, what kind of verse to use, what kind of drama subjects are possible, blah, blah, blah. So it goes on and on. We wouldn't think of that as being very exciting. But along comes a bunch of young folks, like Cyrano de Bergerac, for example. Like a fellow named Corneille, who wrote plays, like d'Assisi, free thinking wanting to go away from the old, dried up, trite, copying the ancients. And so they try to do something very unique and new, and they get into conflict, and people actually fought and threw rotten tomatoes in the theater. I mean, it became wow. riots. So
they took that
to see us in the group of new young whippersnappers.
Yes.
And so the leading critics, they condemn these people, literally use the word, "We condemn them. Do not go to see their shows," you know. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, it is. And it all comes across, becomes alive in the book, The Last Troubadour by Eugene Scruggs. A couple minutes left in the program. You mentioned de Bergerac. He had an interesting rapport with de Saussay. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think, again, people are quite familiar with Cyrano de Bergerac, except they're familiar with a Hollywood version.
Exactly.
And perhaps think he's an invented character. But he was very brilliant, and he's Jules Verne before Jules Verne. He actually wrote a quasi-historical travel to the moon. Now, why travel to the moon? Not to pick up rocks, but to see people on the moon who were behaving correctly, who were moral, who did not accept, you know, some kind of fantastic religion or absolutism in politics. You know, it's kind of an ideal utopian type thing. So he's quite a free thinker, and he and Dassey and about seven or eight other guys in Paris had this core of people who spent their lives sitting around thinking about the future and how they might, in fact, improve it. So Cyrano de Bergerac deserves people's attention. That is the real Cyrano.
Yes.
Now, I give you, if we don't have time, but he's fascinating character, and some of the anecdotes about him don't ever get in the Hollywood version.
Well, it sounds like you could do more with that character because, yes, we have this portrayal in our mind of him that Hollywood has created. Final question in talking about de Saussay, and I think I'm getting closer to pronouncing that possibly correctly. He was
that's good enough.
Thank you. He was in a...
You get a C for the French pronunciation.
No.
You'll get an A.
I'd settle for a C. That was my college life, so I would settle graciously for a C. He was in the production of Molière. Talk about that.
Yeah, that again, unfortunately, is not a well-known name in the Anglo-Saxon world, but in the world of French studies and anywhere in the world where French is spoken, he is played during the repertoire of summer plays, more so than any other playwright. So he would be equivalent in the playability, if that's the right word, with Shakespeare.
Interesting.
Shakespeare in Anglo-Saxon and Molière in, it's a pen name. His name is Jean-Baptiste, but Molière he put on his, who knows why, doesn't mean anything. But yes, he has a tremendous number of comedies. He's basically a comedian. And it's too bad we don't really know more about him in this country.
Well, it sounds like maybe a research project. You've done it again with The Last Troubadour. Eugene Scruggs, our guest on the program. He was with us talking about his memoir, The View from Brindley Mountain. What are you working on now? It's so diverse, I wouldn't even guess what you're working on now.
Oh, you could get it. It's a sequel to View from Brindley Mountain.
Oh, fantastic.
It just went to Stratton Press 2 weeks ago.
Fantastic.
Unfortunately, 79,000 words. I'm not sure anybody will want to read it. But
Well, I am looking forward to that.
It's about the international life, which I led, doing sort of like Charles, traveling all over the world, but I didn't play the lute.
It's just such a fascinating life and all that you've done in teaching literally all over the world. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program. This book is The Last Troubadour, Eugene Scruggs, S-C-R-U-G-G-S. Book available at stratton-press.com. Look it up at Amazon, the usual places. You'll find all of the books written by our guest on the program today, Eugene Scruggs. And it sounds like the sequel coming up here pretty quickly, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that as well. Eugene, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us on the program, and we look forward to doing it again. Thank you for being with us.
It's very, very pleasant to be with you. Enjoyed it.
It is always fun. The book, once again, The Last Troubadour, Eugene Scruggs, book available at stratton-press.com. All the information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.